Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back, and it is October 22nd. We are recording this, of course, live here on YouTube at DTBK or at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid on Twitter, on YouTube. Man, I'm already off, just like the Lions were today, in an absolute 38-6 ass kicking. Hands of the Baltimore Ravens on the road in Baltimore, no less. But before we get into all this, let's introduce Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here on Big Z. Let's get to the other two. We got UJ.
Hello, Lions fans.
And Rud Dog.
Yo.
So, gentlemen, 38-6. And that, I don't even know if that tells how bad this game was for Lions in every way.
Nope.
From the very get-go of this game, it was bad. It was very, very bad.
We call that an ass-whooping.
Yeah, we have not seen something like this out of the Lions since Carolina last year. What do you guys say? It
reminded me a lot of that game.
It did, yeah, where they just went on the road outdoors and looked
after a win streak. Lifeless.
After a win streak, yes. That one had a little more playoff implications. This one, at least, is still earlier in the season. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of time to right the ship. I mean, we're still 5-2. The Green Bay lost. The Vikings are expected to lose tomorrow to San Fran. And then the Bears actually won. But the Lions still have essentially a three-game lead in the division after this one. At least they're losing from that perspective of things. I guess it's the lone bright spot that they can take it and still have plenty of room for error to win the division. But, they definitely did not look like a top contending NFC team today. Like people were claiming throughout the week, the narrative is going to change a little bit, I think. And like Dan Campbell said in his postgame conference, maybe this is what they needed to just refocus for the rest of the year and to remind themselves throughout the rest of the year. We thought the loss to Seattle might do that, but maybe this one really will hone in.
Well, that was four games ago.
But UJ, your thoughts?
All right. This team is an imposter. Goff is an imposter. He's not the guy we thought. He exposes true self here. Dan Campbell can't coach. No one can catch. We have the worst talent, the worst GM ever. We can't get talent on this team. We've been totally exposed today.
Who's this UJ?
Boy, imposter? It's one game, guys. Come on. Not time to panic. I've been reading a lot of comments around the different places on the internet, and people are getting this, oh, my God, Goff is this. It's one game, guys. Come on. It happens. It's no big deal. We're going to put this one behind us, and they're going to go on, and they're gonna crush some people coming up. So it's no big deal. It's the NFL, baby. This happens once in a while. So don't panic, fans. That's all I'm saying. What do you say?
You know, like
Rud Dog.
You know, like the at the beginning of the season, if people had us at 5-2 at this point, they probably would have been pretty happy. Like this was one of those games that would have been nice to win, but you're playing a really good team, one of the best teams in the league on the road at their house, like, and you're coming, you know, off a pretty, you're still in a pretty tough stretch right now. We still have another game before the bye week. Like we're banged up. I'm just saying, like, this game had a lot of things that were working against us, and it kind of just came to a head, and Lamar's a good player, and we, you know, these mobile quarterbacks can be really hard to handle. Like, I'll admit, you know, I've spoken. I think Lamar's passing game has come a long way. Like, he looked really good out there today, sitting in the pocket, delivering dimes. Like, I mean, granted, our pass rush just wasn't getting there, but I think that just seems to be the same problem that we ran into at Seattle when the mobile quarterback makes us have to try to rush super disciplined, but then it takes the edge off our pass rush. But, you know, that being said, you know, great teams are forged in trials and tribulations, and you know, this is just 1 week in a long season, and it's only our second loss. The sky's not falling.
indeed. I think Lamar Jackson, he got out of the locker room early because he didn't have to shower. Didn't even break a sweat in that game. But there wasn't a whole lot of good in this game, but I want to tell you one play that stood out to me. And we were on defense, and we forced Lamar Jackson to his right, and looked like we were converging on him. And this receiver, I think at the tight end, I don't know, leaked past the linebackers, and Lamar just dumped one over the top, and this guy ran for like 80 yards. And
he was a fullback.
Yeah. But I don't think that was a fullback. I don't know. Anyway, the commish freaking chased that guy all the way down the field, man. Almost caught him. Like, that guy just turned the commish jets on for, you know, whatever they are. And he just ran he sprinted the whole way down that field. When other guys were already giving up on the run, that guy never stopped. So I just thought it was a cool effort play, if anybody noticed that.
It was a running back, by the way, Gus Edwards, that had that long catch.
Yeah. Did you remember seeing the Kaminsky doing that, though?
Yeah.
I thought that was
been a hustler, so never doubted his hustle at all. What I wanted to focus on, actually.
You wanted to focus on silence. Everyone should remember in this time, it's a good idea to meditate and not talk. No,
whenever you have technical difficulties, you look at the microphone and go, what's wrong with this microphone? It must be the mic. Oh, man. Boy.
You know, but I do think, like, I agree with Dan, like, the energy never seemed to, like, drop. The team kept trying. We just couldn't get anything to happen in our favor. Like, they just had an answer for everything, on especially that Baltimore offense. Like, our offense did get moving a little bit, but it's tough when you're playing a really good defense with a giant lead. And, you know, like, we still put up a fight. Like, I thought it was interesting that we kept Goff in there all the way down to the nitty gritty. Well, not just Goff, everybody. They didn't put any subs in, no matter how hopeless that game became. I think Dan just wanted to show that we're fighting no matter what. Like,
yeah.
You know,
I think you're right. It wasn't a lack of effort, but it was, in fact, sometimes I think it was overzealousness. These guys weren't handling their assignments correctly. I think they were almost too jacked up. Like, we kept losing our edge because guys were coming down too hard on the inside and giving up the edge, which they did a few times, which led to big plays. But it was unlike us. We kind of lost our discipline, if you will.
Yeah. That's like you notice whenever we're struggling mightily, when your defense starts breaking down, it's because somebody isn't trusting someone else to do their job typically. Like, and they're trying to make something happen, right? And that seems to happen the most in games when you're really losing and nothing's going your way. Like, I think I saw it happened like in real time was when Hutch put a nice spin move on, got penetration, was what's his name, had like nowhere to go at first, but then he just kind of popped out to the side and we had lost contain, and he ran, I think he ran or he threw for a touchdown, I don't know, but like it just, when you're trying, it's so hard to run that ragged edge of disciplined pass rush where you have to still be super violent and get off your blocks. And these O linemen for Baltimore, for Seattle, they know it. It's a huge edge for them to know that if we try a reckless pass rush to beat them, then we're probably sacrificing yards to Lamar, you know, like, and that's just a huge edge to play, and they play it really well. And we didn't do what we've been doing the last few weeks, which was beating the O-line, and their O-line for the Baltimore managed to keep us at bay long enough for Lamar to always either find a way out or find a guy downfield.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think they were trying to be so disciplined, and you could tell they were trying really hard to do that. Mm-hmm. And you're right. It gives the O-line an advantage because they know that. And with a guy like Lamar back there too, I mean,
yep.
Oh God. There were a couple times that, how did he get out of that? I have no idea, but
sorry, I've had technical issues. For anybody listening, if you guys use StreamYard, stop using it because it's the worst service ever. But we'll continue. What was the topic of your conversation? So I can get involved here.
We were just talking about it wasn't really a lack of effort, but it was more a lack of discipline in a lot of phases. For instance, on defense, how many times we gave up the edge when normal discipline.
Well, I have something on that point, and it's more, was it on the players or a terrible coaching effort? I think this team was extremely unprepared for the Ravens.
I don't know about
Lamar Jackson's one of the worst quarterbacks this year against the blitz. How many times the Lions blitz in the first half? Two or three. They rushed three guys most of the first half with a spy over the middle. That's why Lamar Jackson is getting so much time. It, just sitting back in the pocket waiting to throw. I thought it was a terrible game plan defensively, and it put the Lions in a big hole. And obviously, offensively, they just weren't on the same page. But I thought the bigger error was on the defense got the game so out of hand so fast that the offense kind of had to do some more unique things. But I thought defensively, this is Aaron Glenn's worst performance since they faced the Dolphins last season.
The Dolphins.
Well, it's kind of hard to argue with that. They did not seem prepared for this one at all, but on either side, really. And then to top it off, you know, sometimes you can be down by a big margin and come back in the second half and make a game of it. But we didn't adjust. We didn't do anything.
I disagree. I saw like every kind of blitz we could dream up, it seemed like, being thrown. And every time we did it, Lamar had somewhere to go with it, and they were picking it up long enough so he could get it out. So I'm not convinced that this was all on Aaron Glenn. I saw players failing to beat blocks consistently. Like, Hutch was the only one who, like, you know, kept any kind of relative pressure on. Maybe we could have done something different, but I saw a lot of different blitzes and nothing was working. I didn't see like anything work. So to tell me that's on the coaching, I guess, I don't know. That looks like the player's not executing to me.
Well, I think they might have gave too much credence to trying to stop Lamar Jackson because the linebackers were all cheating up, it seemed like. And they were just dumping passes past our linebackers in between the safety and the linebackers, guys wide open and stuff. So
they were.
I think that kind of contributed to their success, if you will. So I think there's maybe a scheming issue there.
Well, I'll say this. Like I do think it's largely on the players' execution. Clearly coaching is a part of it. Because like Dan Campbell said, and I think everyone would agree, that when we win as a team, we lose as a team. You know, like this was a full team loss. No one's left blameless in a loss like this, and that's including the coaches. Well, I do put it slightly more on the players. You could probably make an argument whatever way you want when the whole team collapses like this. But like Connor shared a tweet in our chat, and it brought up something that I thought of. I thought of that Patriots game when Matty P was here, and we put a spanking on the Patriots at home. But they like won the Super Bowl that year, I think. Like these kinds of losses happen to good teams. It's football. It's the NFL. Things just line up and you just don't have your day. And a good team can take advantage of you. And that's what it looked like today. As far as like future implications, I think about the only thing it kind of highlighted to me was maybe we could afford to try to make a move before the trade deadline. Especially for either a pass rusher or another strong secondary piece, because I think having Jacobs out really hurt today. I mean, I know Z will never admit that, but
no, I said I was upset when I heard that he is out. I mean, because then you're forced to throw Will Harris out there, cornerback, which is not ideal.
No, we were suboptimal today against a good team, and Lamar clearly has come a long way with his passing, and he showed that today. I'm not worried about it. Long-term implications here are very little. Like, we could use some guys. I think that much is clear. Well, but overall, as a team,
I mean, the Lions had to cancel practice on Wednesday because the injuries are getting so bad. So.
Yeah, we're
and Jerry Jacobs got injured during practice. This is like the third injury we've had this year during the week of practice. I'm not sure what's going on, but like Jerry Jacobs got hurt like falling down on his knee after jumping in the air on a Friday. So I'm not sure what they're doing on a Friday practice where he's getting his body in a position to hurt himself like that. And then Gibbs obviously hurt his hamstring during the week. I mean, that's a little more forgivable. It's tough. There's a lot of injuries, though.
The thing about, like, and most people probably don't understand this. I'll use that another realm for comparison. Special forces, special operations in our military. You know what the most common cause of casualties in those ranks are? It's not enemy fire or anything. It's training. Because when you're training to be the best, you have to train like you fight. So like, yeah, you can try to mitigate all those injuries during practice, but like when you're going during the week, you still have to train like you're going to play in the game to some extent. You can't go super soft, otherwise you're not going to show up prepared. Maybe that, you know, that day off was a misstep. Maybe we should have just kept going like through our normal routine. You know, sometimes you risk mixing things up and it can throw you off. I don't know, but the point is, this is a hard, hard sport. It's like war. It's battle. It's taxing on the body, no matter when it's practice or in the game. And so, like, you know, that it happens. Practice injuries are not uncommon.
Yeah,
I know. I'm just saying, it's a third one in through 7 weeks.
Yeah, we were dropping like five
players.
So. Yeah,
and now we got freaking like Mo Ibrahim gets one freaking play and looks like he's gonna like never walk again.
Yeah, he had emergency surgery on his hip, dislocated hip.
Dislocated hip. I was like, did they like break his spine or something? Like, it was just weird. Yeah, he laid there.
It didn't even look that bad of a hit.
In
real time, but wow, it's amazing stuff.
But yeah, we're certainly banged up. And you know, like last year, like a lot of times I think that's just another testament to where we're at, though, with a 5-2 record, is that we are banged up and we've been banged up. And yet we've still found a way to win most of the games, at least the ones we should win. Like, this game was always going to be a tough one. Like, I think most people thought if we were going to have losses this year, you'd find one in Baltimore, likely. Not that I wanted to concede that, you know, or anything, but it is what it is now. So, I mean, you know, we're still winning games that we should. And today, we just didn't have it. I think the effort was there, but as a team, we were just not ready for this one.
Well, the Lions desperately needed bye week. They get it the week after this Monday night game next week. And it's really nice that the Lions get to come back home, get a primetime game Monday night against the Raiders, a Raiders team that just got blown out by the Bears. So this could be a really good get-right spot and then get-healthy spot during the bye week the following week after. So a big turning point in the season, even with this tough loss on the schedule.
I wouldn't mind playing the Ravens in the Super Bowl.
Then, I mean, it's like, very possible.
It'd be like the perfect narrative because, like, everyone's going to point to this game if that was the game. Like, this game would be getting played like ad nauseum on ESPN and stuff if we were lined up to play them in the Super Bowl. And, like, wouldn't that just be the perfect way to set up the Super Bowl to come back and smack them in the mouth?
That'd be nice. Hey, can I talk about one little concern I have, though? Seriously?
No.
Go.
Okay. Oh, you guys are kidding. I get it. Okay.
I said okay.
No, J-Mo, man. He reminds me of that kid on The Little Giants, that movie where he can't catch, but you throw like a roll of toilet paper or something, he can catch it or something. Like, you know, even that one that he was kind of interfered on where the guy took his arm and the thing hits him in the head. Yeah. I mean, just kind of ridiculous. And he kind of can't focus on the ball or something. It's so weird. He seems like
last week he had a great catch that took a lot of focus.
I know.
Like last week was a great catch that he had like look over his shoulder twice, adjust his body. He had a similar one actually today that he
almost made it again today.
I know, but I don't know. He frustrates me a little. I'm not going to lie.
I'm not putting that as much on J-Mo.
I mean, he's had drop issues all off season. So,
did we see drop issues today? Like, I saw him get interfered with on a deep ball and not see the ball come hit him in the face, I guess.
I mean, we saw it in the preseason. We saw it.
I know that.
Game.
I'm just saying today I didn't see that. That didn't seem to be the issue.
I don't know. Like, I don't know what it is.
I mean, I'll criticize Goff a little bit on this one because I didn't think Goff was putting the best balls up there for him. He, like, Goff should have put that one that he dropped in the end zone. Goff could have put that over the top. That's an easy touchdown, but he like threw it to the side and low. And so like Goff's got, I'm telling you, Goff just needs to get used to just throwing that ball as far as he possibly can for J-Mo, because that kid seems to always have more speed than the people covering him.
Oh, absolutely.
So yeah, like,
I'm sorry, but it just seems like, he doesn't have those soft hands to me. And, you know, sometimes you got to catch hard ones too. Yeah, I know you can argue the one last week was a hard catch. All this, yeah, you're right. But I mean, he looked really dorky on that one where it hit him in the head. It looked like he just wasn't even adjusting to it at all. It was just strange to me. And I don't know.
That play did sort of symbolize the entire game for the Lions, honestly. But like, just like,
I'm not super concerned at this moment, but it is a kind of back of my mind concern, J-Mo.
Oh, I wouldn't be too worried about that. But hey.
Okay.
It wasn't like we watched him bounce off his hands today. What you're describing didn't happen today. I know that things in the past, like Z hat said, but like that just wasn't the issue.
How I feel.
We'll help it.
Yes. No, express yourself, EJ. We're glad you're sharing your feelings.
I am. I'm sharing my feelings. Space. I can't help how I feel. You guys understand my truth.
Oh, geez.
So, you know, it's kind of crazy. Amon-Ra had 19 targets in this game. 13 catches for 102 yards. Gibbs actually had 100-plus all-purpose yards receiving and
his best
rushing.
Game, I'd say, yet.
Yeah, he had a good game. Not
like,
bad.
It looked like, if we could have got him going a little earlier, he was ready to break some. But the other, freaking St. Brown, he had a good game overall, but like he kind of hurt us early on, not being able to hold on to some of those balls that got, like, I don't know what was with him today.
Did he have multiple drops? I know the one he had, but it was a holding call.
I thought he had a couple.
That was sort of our Goff too. I thought he had at least two. I don't know, but
Goff for running out of the pocket.
Yeah. I don't know why he banned in the pocket there.
It was a clean pocket.
A good pocket. And then he pulled the guy out away from Sewell and kind of set him up for that holding call.
Yeah. Sewell had another holding call though. On another big play, too, I believe.
Yep.
I think we could talk about that was the worst performance I've seen by our offensive line since it's been created. Maybe there's been a worse one, but this one today, like, they just got kind of whooped. Like, and, like, Ragnow got whooped on one real bad.
Yeah, this is as bad. This is the worst one I've seen since they played the Patriots. Last year, where I think they had,
but
like,
did we have all five of our guys then? Well, I guess technically we're missing Jonah, but like, but like still, like, oof, it was rough.
Yeah, it was a rough one.
It was not good. It was not good. I mean, also when you're putting we had 53 pass attempts in this game, plus five sacks, so really 58 technically.
Yeah, and that's just the circumstance of the falling behind early.
Right. So, I mean, when you're put in that position, too, it makes it a little tougher. But, right, I mean, early on, it wasn't great either. So,
no.
I mean, this is a tough one. Hopefully, it's not more of the same. There's not really anybody that stood out, I guess, maybe besides Gibbs and Amon-Ra to a degree.
Josh
Reynolds had two catches again for 43.
Jack Fox had a couple good punts.
Yeah. There you go.
I mean, Goff was good with the football at the very least, but like in terms of not turning it over, like that, like when you're going against a defense like that who's smothering you so thoroughly, it's not uncommon for turnovers to sort of suddenly pile up. Like his one interception, the guy shouldn't even caught it, kind of did us a little solid there if it would have mattered. But he didn't throw some, there were some bad balls he put out there, but at the same time, they weren't dangerous balls, and he wasn't, you know, turning the ball over, which just, in a day when you need to score a lot of points, sometimes isn't enough.
And some of that's luck, too. He fumbled twice, and we were able to recover. We were able to recover both of them, thank God. But
Did you like Sewell's? Picked it up, and he broke a couple tackles and got back to the line of scrimmage, but it was funny to watch him run with the ball.
Yeah,
maybe they should give him the ball on the goal line one of these days. That'd be
That would be fun to watch.
Or put him at lead fullback or something, or just have him push Goff from behind into the end zone. One of those things.
Yeah,
I mean, he's far enough from the ball where he might not make as much big of an impact rather than from pushing Goff. Like, just imagine shoving golf, like just blasting him in the end.
Yeah, that sounds great.
only for like, you know, a big moment in case Goff gets hurt, like to win the Super Bowl or something.
Yeah. LaPorta actually had a solid day today, especially through the air. Six receptions, 52 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah, decent day.
On National Tight Ends Day. So.
Yeah, right.
The Greg Olsen holiday. And he was announced that. Yeah, unfortunately, this is like one of the national, they're the national announcing team on this one, and they did not get the best Lions product.
No.
No.
At least we didn't get the flex this week. That would have been bad.
It's really weird, too, because I was watching, you know, the pregame stuff on NFL Network and some of it on Fox. I was switching.
Yeah.
And they were really, really talking about the Lions a lot, which, you know, we're just not used to that as Lions fans. You know, usually you're lucky they get a word in anywhere, but they were just talking about us up and down. And, you know, a lot of people saying how good we were. They're going to win this game. Blah, yeah. blah, 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 blah. And then we just lay the biggest egg ever. But maybe we can calm the talk down just a little bit now and just get back to work and start winning again. So we'll be fine.
Yep. It was an ass whooping, but, you know, sometimes an ass whooping is just what you need.
Yeah. I mean, they're really, I mean, do you think the Ravens exposed something that other teams are going to try to utilize? And,
well, the only trend I've seen is if you have a mobile quarterback and you can use it to, you know, take the teeth out of our pass rush. Like, like this looked too much like the Seahawks game where, like, whatever pressure we got was just impotent because the quarterback was always ready for it to just break out and do something with the ball. Which, I mean, I don't know what the answer is to that, but that's the only thing, like, where I can see, like, a pattern or a trend. Like, the defense just had a... just got picked apart by that again today when you're not getting pressure. But the offense, I'm less concerned about. It was just a bad day against a really good defense. Like, I would fully expect, you know, in a more important game and like down the road, we'd come with a different game plan, be ready to punch him in the mouth. I don't think our O-line's going to let that happen to him a lot. You know? Yeah.
No, I'd agree. I also want to shout out that first touchdown that the Ravens had. The Lamar Jackson touchdown run. I just thought it was a really good play design on the fourth down.
It was.
I thought that was really cool. I love those cool little things that you see. But I mean, so I got to tip my hat. And then I thought I like the Lions screen of Jahmyr Gibbs for the 21 yard catch that he had too.
Finally, like, targeting him with these plays, like,
right.
I feel like where we've always been using him as like a decoy, like finally just giving him the damn ball in space.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, hopefully this opens up that part of the offense for us in terms of Gibbs and with his 9 catches for 58 yards today.
Yeah.
Everybody's been waiting for it, but he did get that touchdown finally. So
I want to see more plays like we used to run with Theo Riddick,
where
you do those little breaking in routes or put him one-on-one out there on the side to like do something with it. Like,
yeah, usually it's like an option route,
yeah,
a shotgun.
Whereas like they've been using them like all these like sort of like bubble screens and stuff, like, which are they're fine for like getting little chunks, but they don't offer big chunks as much, I feel like, unless you really make something happen.
I mean, I was expecting some more like sideline pass, like down the sideline, like in one-on-one with like a linebacker on the outside. I was expecting that a little more. We haven't quite seen that, so maybe that's coming down the line. They said they're gonna give him more stuff. They've been saying it all year.
Well, they did today.
The season progresses. So hopefully
that toss for a tutty was dope.
Yeah, yeah. Desperately needed for some sort of saving
pride
today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also thought it was interesting that we kept every starter out there all the way down to the final play in a blowout like that. Like, I felt like Dan was sort of just kind of hold being like, we have pride, we're not gonna pull our guys, we're gonna fight to the end. I don't know, like, but it's like maybe when we're getting like dropping like flies, that's not the best idea, but
yeah, I would maybe lean that way, but
it also felt like
it wasn't too bad.
A couple, like when we were kind of surging a little bit, like looking like we might make any some sort of like comeback, like suddenly all those fourth downs, like go for on fourth down in the red zone instead of taking three, felt kind of silly because like we could have had like 9 points on the board already to kind of vault off of to try to catch up with that like deficit, you know. Instead, we were working from zero. Like, I know, yeah. Like, I love the aggressiveness. I love wanting to score the touchdowns, but like sometimes
if you're down 28, I feel like you got to go for it.
But like when you still got a lot of time, like those points can do a lot more. Like 3 points can be worth a lot more than they feel like when at that moment in time when you're settling for them. Like, because like you see it change the whole scope of the game down the road. Like it, like if we were only down like 21 because we had kicked 2 field goals, that's a whole different game potentially. I'm just saying, like, I don't know. I would like him to maybe take some points a little more at times, but like, not that it really mattered in that game probably, but it could have. Like, it just was interesting when he was aggressive, when he was conservative. I don't know what he could have done differently for the whole game, because when you're just that systematically getting beaten, but a few, you know, some extra points to have a chance to actually like launch a comeback off of might have been worth having, is all I'm saying.
Yeah. I was actually kind of thinking that same thing at the time too. It might have done something for the morale a little bit on the sideline. You have a few points on the board.
It breaks that like tension of the shutout too earlier.
Yeah.
Like, you know, maybe the defense suddenly, like, it's weird how points can infect, especially touchdowns, but points in general can just change. Like, you see it all the time where, like, you're getting completely shut out and suddenly you score once and then the water, all the floodgates open and now you can't get stopped. Like you, I don't know. I just think maybe getting some points would have been worth it early on when we were.
Well, yeah, that's what I was hoping at the end of the, end of the first half, the Lions were driving a little bit. I think they even got into field goal range, and then Sewell had the bad holding call and took him right out.
Yeah, we killed ourselves.
That was a killer.
Like that, like they dialed up some good blitzes, like that one safety blitz where Goff never saw the guy until it was way too late, like coming off the blind side there.
Mm-hmm.
Number 10, I think. Like that was them just calling really clever things, knowing what they had in hand. They just had the. Once they had that lead, we were just in trouble against a defense like that.
Yep. Yeah. Well, this is a tough one. For sure. No doubt about it. Right now, the Eagles are playing. The Dolphins are up 7.5. The reason I mentioned that is just for standings purposes, kind of where things stand. Lions definitely will not have the best record in the conference, most likely by the end of the weekend here. The Seattle one and Dallas is on a bye, so those are both 4-2 or 5-2. Seattle would have the tiebreaker over us. I mean, there's still 10 games to go, so it's a long season. But the Chiefs are 6-1, so we no longer have the best record in the NFL.
Nope.
Like we did coming into the weekend, unfortunately. But it is a long season. I don't know. Do you guys have anything else to add?
Well, you know, yeah. I do one thing. It's just
yeah.
For all the fans that are panicking out there, and there seems to be quite a few, you know, reverting back to the same old Lions talk, but this is not the same team. And just remember that in the movies, like the good guys, like any Clint Eastwood movie or Sylvester Stallone movie, right? Like somewhere in the middle of the movie, they get the shit kicked out of them, right? And you think they're out and they're dead, right? But somehow they come back because they're tough, man, because they're tough. And that's what this team is. Yeah, we got the shit kicked out of us today. But, you know, we're going to come back, and we're going to be tough, man. And we're going to take some teams out, and we're going to come back in blaze of glory. And you're going to see we're going to string some wins together, and all of a sudden, you know, we're always people crying. Come on, man. We're going to win some games. We're going to have a good year. So hang in there, Lions fans. Don't panic. That's all.
Right. Yeah, UJ kind of took I said it earlier, like, great teams are forged through trials and tribulations. And I was just thinking of, you know, when like the Fellowship of the Ring was broken at the end of, you know, book one, did they lose hope and despair? No, they forged on. And through those trials and tribulations, they were able to defeat Sauron and evil. So, you know, our team, you know, today we got an ass whooping, but, you know, it's a long season and we're going to forge on till the end. And I have every belief this team has what it takes to get this, make this thing happen.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention that Levi and Wuzurike and Charles Harris are both healthy scratches for this game, which I thought was just an interesting note. Josh Pascal was activated.
That is interesting, especially Levi, because you would think we'd want a quicker dude inside, maybe, but maybe he just hasn't been that enough anyway. But man,
Harris has been a disappointment this year thus far.
So do you guys think we need to be more buyers? I like, because that was the one big thing I like. Our defensive pass rush, it looked like Hutch and like no one else today.
Buyers, like, but you can't like go nuts. Yeah.
Right.
Like, I'd say we either need a guy like James Houston back and healthy, or we need to get another guy on that line who can offer a little more of that sack potential on a regular basis, because right now, Hutch is just not getting enough help.
I mean, the biggest name in the market right now most likely would be Daniil Hunter, because he's on a one-year deal with Minnesota. And Minnesota obviously is trending towards not having a good year in a transitional period. And, I mean, the trade deadline is the end of the month, so the Lions pretty much have next week and then their bye week. And right after next week's game is pretty much when the trade deadline is. So it seems a little early, but... I mean, the Lions have made trades with the Vikings in the past, obviously the T.J. Hockenson trade, and as our producer just noted, that the Lions do have the Vikings third rounder in next year's draft, so maybe just hand it back to him.
There you go.
I mean, a third, would you guys do a third for Daniil Hunter? I would.
Sure.
I think I would, yes.
A one-year rental? I mean, right, you just don't just know need... how many opportunities you have to make a run in the playoffs. I feel like the way the division's shaking out right now, and the Lions have a chance to get a home playoff game for the first time in since the 90s. UJ, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head when the last time.
It was 91 in the 2000s. When we had our last playoff win against the Dallas Cowboys. Get spanked by the Redskins the week after. But yeah, I think it's probably the last time. It's probably the last
time. And it's not like our third rounders always contribute. I mean, look at Broderick Martin. He hasn't even been activated yet this year. So
yeah.
I don't know what's going on there. It's really bizarre that he hasn't even gotten a chance to operate.
Someone like Kalijah Kansey's looking really, really good right now. Just for that internal pass rush.
Maybe.
That one dude that game today, that but... quick little tackle for the Ravens gave us fits.
Who's that?
That little speedy dude. I forget his name. The D tackle who's like their internal pass rusher. I don't know.
Is it Medibuke?
Sure.
Justin Medibuke. Yeah.
That
was the name that I mentioned.
He crossed up Ragnow real bad on one and just absolutely toasted him into the backfield. That's what speed kills on the inside. Like, it just kills.
Yeah. He has 5.5 sacks from inside this year. So. He's a third rounder too. He's a third round pick out of A&M.
We need some more. We need some more teeth on this pass rush. Right now, it's just not getting. I mean, not maybe for most teams, our pass rush is enough, if not overwhelming. But like against the good teams, you can see that the guys aren't on Hutch's level are not getting it done.
Well, for those hoping that Goff would be the front runner for MVP after this game, it went the opposite direction, and Lamar Jackson is now the front runner for the MVP per odds. So
you looked like it today.
he did. But again, there's 10 games left. We're not even halfway through the season yet.
We're 5-2, baby. We're
I mean, we've
nice
seen the Lions
position.
At 6-2 in my lifetime, and finished 7-9. John Kitna years.
We could still finish 15-2. So I mean,
oh, we could also do that. I'm just saying, like, it's a long way to
yes,
yeah.
And the Lions, but I like Dan Campbell said, hopefully, like, this is just another humbling experience for them, another learning process. Still a lot of young guys in the team. A lot of young guys contributed to this team. A lot of those guys, I've said, big success in college and stuff. So like being humbled like this. Hopefully gets them to light it, like come out and win by 32 next on Monday night against the Raiders.
That would be nice.
Yeah, the only way you lose a game like this really is by not growing from it. And I trust this team is going to fully take advantage to grow from it. Because, you know, maybe like another better thing than like the next best thing after like a winning, an ugly win is like the just full blowout where you get to rip everything apart and really just get everyone to refocus down and get that razor vision back, like that focus, that that intensity, you know.
Right.
So.
Definitely. Yeah, well, I think we can wrap it up here.
See? Don't turn around. There's a Packers fan in your house. Star.
Oh, my wife. No, they're just saying that there's a Packers fan in the house. Don't turn around. Oh, she's walking over to them.
She's got a frying pan.
Oh, no.
She's got a frying pan.
Oh, she's just waving hi. That was a close one. If you're listening on the podcast, everybody's safe.
Not for long.
Oh!
We're cutting off her access to the microphone from now on.
That's it.
Yeah, enough of that.
That's gonna wrap it up. I mean, Lions get their ass kicked, but they'll have an extra day actually next week because they play a Monday night against the Raiders. A Raiders team that's really struggling right now. I don't know. They probably will have Jimmy G back as their quarterback, but we'll be podcasting later this week, previewing that game as the Lions try to turn around and respond to this loss in Baltimore, which we think they will. We still are drinking the blue Kool-Aid on this podcast.
Always.
Never a doubt there. Never a doubt there. But thank you, everybody, for who tuned in on YouTube at DTBK or Drinking Blue Kool-Aid. Search it on there. Subscribe so you can get noticed of any future live streams that we have. Instagram at Drinking Blue Kool-Aid. Connor posted his same game parlay in there. I don't think it hit. UJ, your same game parlay hit?
Oh, no. Not even not even close.
No.
Well, did any of it hit?
Yeah, my Jahmyr Gibbs bet and my yardage for Goff. I had him over 240 or whatever it was.
Oh, nice.
No, there you go.
So three out of my seven or eight, whatever I picked,
ooh,
hit.
You're not.
Hey, that's all right. You tried.
Yep.
You tried. You know what?
Your picks were like the Lions.
Yeah. It's not a par. But anyways, Instagram at Drinking a Blue Kool-Aid. Twitter. /X at Drinking Lions. Go on there. Let us know your thoughts about this game. You know, we want to hear how you're still drinking the Kool-Aid on this team. I mean, we're 5-2. We have a 3-game lead in the division. So, you know, this happens in NFL, like Rud Dog was saying. It happens sometimes. It's okay. Maybe this is exactly what we needed to go the rest of the way strong.
Yeah.
Right. And thank you to our producer,
Kid J.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for producing Kid J. Does a great job. And thanks to Sideline Report for supporting the podcast. And really, just thank you to the listeners. I know this is a tough one. They're not always fun, unfortunately, unless you go undefeated all the way. So this is only our second one of the year. It's better than, you know, most of our time doing this podcast, where the Lions have had a lot of losses in our time doing this podcast in the last 4 years since we started it. And this is still the highest we've ever been on the team, even after a loss like this. Oh, we're all good.
Nice.
Still extremely fun team, and we just can't wait. Monday night, Detroit's going to be absolutely buzzing. That roof is going to go blast off. And the Lions are going to... Wait, do you guys like those blue helmets now that they kind of showed them off in practice?
They look kind of cool.
What's
the uniform combo they're going to use with that?
It's those the Color Rush one, those silver or gray.
No!
I hate those grays.
Stupid!
Man. I think it'll make the blue look good.
Oh, so dumb.
Like, I like the helmet,
why is gray our Color Rush? We're not gray. It's blue and silver. Why do we wear gray?
They've kind
and
of
then you have
on
a blue helmet, Color Rush, blue! Wear blue uniforms with a blue helmet. It makes sense. It's just so aggravating.
I don't know. They've kind of grown on me a little bit, the gray.
Yeah, like a fungus.
Like pajamas to me.
It's better than the black.
Oh, yeah. Anything's better than the black.
A little bit. Couldn't they make, like, the jerseys, like, silver? Like, make them, like, have, like, a silvery tint to them or something? Make them not
like chrome
gray.
Chrome jerseys?
I'm not sure how that would go.
I'm just saying.
Like those chrome helmets that Oregon had, remember? But we'll do the whole jerseys chrome. Like, we'll be just blinding everybody running around the field. Bunch of...
yeah.
Like, I don't know if you can even do that, but it'd be interesting.
All right. Well, okay. Let's just wrap this up. This has been a show full of technical difficulties.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Lions game today. So
yeah.
I guess it's fitting in that regard. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be back later this week previewing Week 8, where the Lions will be hosting Monday Night Football against the Raiders. We can't wait to talk about it with you all. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And last but not least, as always, go!
Go!
Down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, 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 go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go! Go.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.